No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. Today is the fourth day of November. I'm Jill, and it is my joy to welcome you here to this safe space where we are one step closer to finishing the Bible in chronological order together. What a beautiful journey it has been. It's not over with yet. Let's dive in to today's reading. Today we're reading chapter 22, and Mark chapter 12. And this week we are reading the Good News translation. Matthew chapter 22. Jesus again used parables in talking to the people. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a king who prepared a wedding feast for his son. He sent his servants to tell the invited guests to come to the feast, but they did not want to come. So he sent other servants with this message for the guests. My feast is ready now. My steers and prize calves have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But the invited guests paid no attention and went about their business. One went to his farm, another to his store, while others grabbed the servants, beat them, and killed them. The king was very angry, so he sent his soldiers, who killed those murderers and burned down their city. Then he called his servants and said to them, "My wedding feast is ready, but the people I invited did not deserve it. Now go to the main streets and invite to the feast as many people as you find." So the servant went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, good and bad alike, and the wedding hall was filled with people. The king went in to look at the guests and saw a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" the king asked him. But the man said nothing. Then the king told the servants, "Tie him up hand and foot and throw him outside in the dark. There he will cry and gnash his teeth." And Jesus concluded, "Many are invited, but few are chosen." The Pharisees went off and made a plan to trap Jesus with questions. Then they sent to him some of their disciples and some members of Herod's party. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you tell the truth. You teach the truth about God's will for people without worrying about what others think, because you pay no attention to anyone's status. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it against our law to pay taxes to the Roman emperor or not?" Jesus, however, was aware of their evil plan, and so he said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin for paying the tax." They brought him the coin, and he asked them, "Whose face and name are on these?" "The emperor's," they answered. So Jesus said to them, "Well then, pay to the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and pay to God what belongs to God." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. That same day, some Sadducees came to Jesus and claimed that people will not rise from death. "Teacher," they said, "Moses said that if a man who has no children dies, his brother must marry the widow so that they can have children who will be considered the dead man's children. Now, there were seven brothers who used to live here. The oldest got married and died without having children, so he left his widow to his brother. The same thing happened to the second brother, to the third, and finally to all seven. Last of all, the woman died. Now, on the day when the dead rise to life, whose wife will she be? All of them have married her." Jesus answered them, "How wrong you are. It is because you don't know the scriptures or God's power. For when the dead rise to life, they will be like the angels in heaven and will not marry. Now, as for the dead rising to life, haven't you ever read what God has told you? He said, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He is the God of the living, not of the dead." When the crowds heard this, they were amazed at his teaching. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a teacher of the law, tried to trap him with a question. "Teacher," he asked, "which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depend on these two commandments. When some Pharisees gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Messiah? Whose descendant is he?" "He is David's descendant," they answered. "Why then," Jesus asked, "did the Spirit inspire David to call him Lord?" David said, "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit here at my right side until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David called him Lord, how can the Messiah be David's descendant?" No one was able to give Jesus any answer, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Mark chapter 12. Then Jesus spoke to them in parables. Once there was a man who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a hole for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to tenants and left home on a trip. When the time came to gather the grapes, he sent a slave to the tenants to receive from them his share of the harvest. The tenants grabbed the slave, beat him, and sent him back without a thing. Then the owner sent another slave. The tenants beat him over the head and treated him shamefully. The owner sent another slave, and they killed him, and they treated many others the same way, beating some and killing others. The only one left to send was the man's own dear son. Last of all, then, he sent his son to the tenants. "I am sure they will respect my son," he said. But those tenants said to one another, "This is the owner's son. Come on, let's kill him, and his property will be ours." So they grabbed the son and killed him and threw his body out of the vineyard. "What then will the owner of the vineyard do?" asked Jesus. "He will come and kill those tenants and turn the vineyard over to others. Surely you have read the scriptures. The stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all. This was done by the Lord. What a wonderful sight it is." The Jewish leaders tried to arrest Jesus because they knew that he had told this parable against them, but they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. Some Pharisees and some members of Herod's party were sent to Jesus to trap him with questions. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you tell the truth without worrying about what people think. You pay no attention to anyone's status, but teach the truth about God's will for people. Tell us, is it against our law to pay taxes to the Roman emperor? Should we pay them or not?" But Jesus saw through their trick and answered, "Why are you trying to trap me? Bring a silver coin and let me see it." They brought him one, and he asked, "Whose face and name are these?" "The emperor's," they answered. So Jesus said, "Well then, pay to the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and pay to God what belongs to God." And they were amazed at Jesus. Then some Sadducees, who say that people will not rise from death, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, Moses wrote this law for us. If a man dies and leaves a wife but no children, that man's brother must marry the widow so that they can have children who will be considered the dead man's children. Once there were seven brothers. The oldest got married and died without having children. Then the second one married the woman, and he also died without having children. The same thing happened to the third brother, and then to the rest. All seven brothers married the woman and died without having children. Last of all, the woman died. Now, when all the dead rise to life on the day of resurrection, whose wife will she be? All seven of them had married her." Jesus answered them, "How wrong you are. And do you know why? It is because you don't know the scriptures or God's power. For when the dead rise to life, they will be like the angels in heaven and will not marry. Now, as for the dead being raised, haven't you ever read in the book of Moses the passage about the burning bush? There it is written that God said to Moses, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is the God of the living, not of the dead.' You are completely wrong." A teacher of the law was there who heard the discussion. He saw that Jesus had given the Sadducees a good answer, so he came to him with a question. Which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus replied, The most important one is this. Listen, Israel. The Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second most important commandment is this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no other commandment more important than these two. The teacher of the law said to Jesus, Well done, teacher. It is true, as you say, that only the Lord is God, and that there is no other God but He. And you must love God with all your heart, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. It is more important to obey these two commandments than to offer on the altar animals and other sacrifices to God. Jesus noticed how wise his answer was, and so he told him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. After this, nobody dared to ask Jesus any more questions. As Jesus was teaching in the temple, he asked the question, How can the teachers of the law say that the Messiah will be the descendant of David? The Holy Spirit inspired David to say, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit here at my right side until I put your enemies under your feet. David himself called him Lord. So how can the Messiah be David's descendant? A large crowd was listening to Jesus gladly. As he taught them, he said, Watch out for the teachers of the law, who like to walk around in their long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace, who choose the reserved seats in the synagogues and the best places at feasts. They take advantage of widows and rob them of their homes, and then make a show of saying long prayers. Their punishment will be all the worse. As Jesus sat near the temple treasury, he watched the people as they dropped in their money. Many rich men dropped in a lot of money. Then a poor widow came along and dropped in two little copper coins worth about a penny. He called his disciples together and said to them, I tell you that this poor widow put more in the offering box than all the others. For the others put in what they had to spare of their riches, but she, poor as she is, put in all she had. She gave all she had to live on.
Welcome back to another edition of Whatever This Is. People are like I'm getting the feedback that that's a good name.
I love it. It works.
Because we're not trying to make any like clear statement about exactly what this is, but because that allows it to be whatever it is.
Exactly. It just let it breathe.
It just lets it breathe. So welcome back to another episode, edition, installment of Whatever This Is.
Increment.
Another step forward with Whatever This Is with Brian and Joe. Roma edition.
Roma.
So we are in Rome, and we are winding down to the last steps of chasing the Book of Acts, chasing the New Testament letters, and chasing whatever this is that we've been doing here for weeks now. And Rome is our final place before crossing back over the ocean and
from Rome to home,
back to the rolling hills. So got in here. We have to recall 2 days. And you haven't been feeling that well. And not super feeling that well now.
Oh no.
So that's kind of how things were when we started this journey.
In fact, as soon as we finished the last installment of Whatever This Is, I went to bed and that was it.
Yeah, and then we had to travel, and then just kind of made the call to not do another whatever this is, because you were really not feeling well at all.
I've been in bed.
So even part of today. So mm-hmm. I have to kind of share some of that. So let me think about this. So we were in Naples, and very specifically, we were there for biblical reasons. We did other things, like we went to Pompeii, and we talked about that.
We were not there for the original pizza.
No, but it was amazing. Like, that was the best pizza I've ever had. But we talked about all that.
Mm-hmm.
And even Pompeii, and just not really with the surprise of how that connected some of the New Testament to our understanding. But it was the day yesterday. Gosh, that was yesterday.
All the way back to yesterday.
Oh my gosh. So the main harbor in the first century, at the time that Jesus' life was, and at the time that the early church developed, like in the book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
the main harbor onto the land that we now know of as Italy was Puteoli.
Puteoli.
That is very much near Naples, current Naples.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was why we were there. That is the harbor that St. Paul came ashore. He appealed to Caesar back in Caesarea Maritima and took a long journey, including a shipwreck on Malta, but eventually made it to Puteoli.
Mm-hmm.
And came onto the land and was taken to Rome.
And Roma.
Also, the long-running church tradition is that is also where Peter. I mean, that's where everybody, that was the main harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So it was to Puteoli that we went. And you were not feeling great, but you were a trooper, and so we got to see what is there. It's still an existing modern city. And so the first century Roman Empire, those kind of ruins are mixed in and among. It's not like this massive archaeology site. It's still a living, breathing city.
The crazy thing is I cannot even remember what you're talking about yesterday.
Well, maybe
yes, I do. Okay.
Maybe as I go through this, you will. So
we couldn't get into.
Yeah, there were a few places. There was an earthquake, friends.
It was a real life earthquake.
Not so much that we experienced, but that had quite a few places, kind of different places, kind of walled off. Like, no, this isn't safe right now.
They locked it down as they should.
Did not realize how many volcanoes are around there. I mean, obviously a volcano, Mount Vesuvius, destroyed Pompeii, but there are quite a few craters and, it's prone to earthquakes. Didn't know that, but do know. Anyway, we got to Puteoli, and the first place we went was the arena, like the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It is not as big as the Colosseum in Rome at all.
No.
But it is 100 years older. And we went in there. It's pretty well intact.
But the underneath, like where they would have caged the animals and the gladiators. I mean, what an inhumane thing to think about.
I learned a lot about that today. You didn't. You were sick. But I learned, like, there's this reputation for, like, Roman Empire bloodlust, like people just loved blood and loved to watch people die and everything like that. And I guess it's kind of a little bit less than that. Like, yes, indeed, people were fed to the wild beasts, including Christians. Yes. But those were public executions, and not everybody watched that, but it was a part of, like, a deterrent.
No, but I remember the last time that we were here and toured, and there was like this thing that the king would eat himself until he threw up, and they'd bring him a bucket and he'd throw up and
good times.
Then he would eat some more.
Well,
like, bring me some chicken wings and let the tigers and the bears eat the criminals. And no better way to intimidate Christians than to watch them be ate alive. And that's... But you're saying it wasn't quite like that.
I'm saying that the very stark, deep reputation for that kind of persecution wasn't just quite as stark and bloody and as deeply... Like, I understood a little bit better that people who essentially gave up their citizenship, their as a Roman citizen, there were certain things required in the culture that had always been required. And so for a Christian, there were people that would not any longer participate in certain things that were nationalistic or empire centric. In terms of worship, in terms of just the fabric of the culture, not just like deviant kind of things that we would find wrong now, but just normal things, because of their allegiance to Jesus, it was like they gave their allegiance to another king, another emperor, another kingdom, committing treason. And so that, like, what I learned today was honor was more important than gold or anything else. Your honor was all you had. And if you lost your honor, you could not get it back. I mean, it's still so true. Like, you lose your reputation, and like earning trust back is so difficult. So their honor was broken to the empire by committing treason, and like, it was confusing to most citizens. Like, why would you, like, this is, why would you do that? Like, why would you give up everything that the empire has to offer, like the superpower has to offer, for some backwater crazy Syrian ancient Jewish connection to some person who you now think is the god of all gods, and you crucified this person? Like, he was killed by the Roman Empire. Like, why would you do this? It was like very, very confusing. And so they just ended up, because they lost their honor, kind of considered as some of the worst, not necessarily criminals, like committing crimes, but the lowest of the low. And so, yes, some Christians did get fed to the wild beasts. We have lots of accountings of that, but they weren't the only ones. They were just kind of mixed in with other criminals who had lost their honor in other ways. So anyway, back to Puteoli. We're under the stadium, seeing where the gladiators were, seeing how they had like pulleys, these like ancient kind of elevators, and how the beasts would be brought up and open the cage, and the beasts would come out, and there would be fights, quote unquote fights, with criminals who... That was also a way of giving that criminal, instead of just execution, like, they could choose execution or they could choose to fight the wild beasts. And the wild beasts, if they won, then they had paid their debt to society. They were free.
Wow.
It's just that nobody did.
There's no surprise there.
No accounting of anybody ever winning.
Let's starve a tiger for a week.
Well, it wasn't just a tiger. It was like... numerous wild beasts. Like, you had to beat them all.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
They lost before they even entered.
They lost. And this idea of fight-to-the-death gladiator battles was a little bit more reconciled. I realized these gladiators are slaves, and a lot of money goes into them, and a lot of betting goes into them. And so mm-hmm. it wasn't just about fighting to the death. It was not about killing your opponent. It was about defeating your opponent. And wow. so, but there, sometimes, yeah. because there were no rule, like it was a fight in any way that you could fight to win, like in battle. So, you know, sometimes they died because they got injured that bad, or sometimes they were defeated and died later because their wounds were infected. And mm-hmm. so there, you know, but when a gladiator died, then that was like the loss of a huge investment. And some of these people, you know, people got really famous and people were betting on them. And so I just kind of got this big, maybe a broader context than a very stark black and white, very cruel, very brutal, very, I don't know, just a different view of the humanity of it all. And anyway, back to Puteoli. Mm-hmm. We're in the stadium, we're underneath, we're seeing the elevators, we're seeing where the wild beasts go in. And I walked out on that, I mean, we all did. We walked out on top, like on the arena floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we could see all the seats around us. And I just thought, okay, this is small compared to Rome. Like this could feed 30,000 people maybe. Whereas Rome can do like 70,000 people. But still 30,000 people screaming. I don't know, if you're like a Christian and this is your day, and out in the middle of all that, you go, I don't know, that just struck me. Like, that actually happened to people. And what that might have felt like. And that a person would be willing to lose their honor. And lose their citizenship and lose all of the benefits. Lose everything and then lose their life in a pretty violent and bloody way. I don't know. I thought, man, I don't know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of imagine being out there, and not only like you gotta face something that's gonna kill you, but people are screaming.
Yeah.
And the roar of the crowd. And
I think that's why I have such a hard time when we just very flippantly use terms like persecution.
Yeah.
Where we live.
Right. Or attack. Or just any of these things. Like,
we just don't.
We can say that certain things are happening, and maybe they are, but not like what people were facing in the early church.
Right.
It's just a very different thing. Which is not to say that those types of things don't happen in the world.
No, they do.
But not so much for we free people.
Right.
Who are citizens.
And I think we live in this fear and this threat of that. And just even hearing you talk about, you know, the Colosseum and how they had to fight. It's like we have gotten so obsessed with the word winning. Win, win, win.
Yeah.
When we don't. You don't really go to fight to lose. You go to fight to win.
Yeah.
But I think we're fighting all the wrong battles.
Often.
you know, it's, there's an enemy within. The enemy's not always on the outside, and well, that's a whole other thing, but
honor. Man. So I'm going to be thinking about that as I continue forward, but gosh, we need to move on. So we left the stadium, and it's not, like I said, it's not like the, it's an archaeological site. So the next place we went where we could see first century Roman Empire was basically a fish market and a vegetable market. And it was just like this square of recovered archaeology. I don't know, maybe a couple acres worth, maybe an acre of ground. We could see, you know, this was right off the harbor where the fishermen would come in and the farmers would come in and people getting off the ships would come in. And so we got to see that. And I think you were starting to really, at that point, feel lousy.
Oh, yeah.
And
my highlight yesterday of remembrance was that I asked for toilet paper in Italian.
Do you remember how?
No, I Googled it. And then I asked for it and I felt pretty proud of myself. And the problem with that is then they start talking back to you in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, whoa, signor, no comprende. Italiano.
No, no, Espanol.
Yeah.
So anyway, fish market.
Fish market, vegetable market. I don't even
another
know.
Another public common toilet. The guide said, can you just imagine, like, everybody, there was no privacy. You just sit there and you're just farting together.
Did he really say that?
He really did. And guys, his name was Fabrizio.
Fabrizio.
So I'm like, yeah, that's just very
farting Fabrizio.
So from there, so we went into basically the upper modern city that had been evacuated in the 40s. They literally relocated people because it was near like an eruption zone for a volcano, and earthquakes were like, they thought another tragedy would happen. And so all these well-developed like buildings from the 1940s were vacated, and people were like relocated to a safer place.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just sat there, and they have become more kind of public buildings, but it's kind of a ghost town still. But in the process, they found underneath all that more of Puteoli from the first century. And so underneath all that is, you know, you can go and see some of the ancient city. And so we were able to see some of that. But then it was all kind of halted because there were earthquakes happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yesterday,
you were not feeling so good, and we just kind of got a glimpse, but couldn't really do the whole, like, it's a pretty massive underground thing. We got a taste of it to understand it, and it's pretty well preserved. But lots of places we couldn't go. They just were not letting anybody into a lot of places.
Well, we were also there on a Sunday, and so the churches that we tried to see, who knew, they shut down after Mass.
Yeah.
So there was Mass going on while we were there, and boy, Fabrizio,
he went to bat.
He went to bat. I was like, okay.
He lost, but he went to bat.
But then, you know what? He ended up at the end of it with a grazie.
So we wanted to go, like, there was a big church that burned down, and what was found is a temple that was to Venus, I believe. I can't remember. One of the Roman gods.
I think you're right.
And
I remember that name.
incorporated, then after the church burned down, as it was being reconstructed, this temple was found, and so it was kind of incorporated into the rebuilding of the church, and so the columns and everything were there, and we would have been able to see, we got to see that from the outside, but we would have been able to see extensively that kind of temple that was converted into a church. And
I really wanted to see that too, because part of that temple, just ginormous mm-hmm. glass panels, mm-hmm. and you could see the pews mm-hmm. to the church inside, and yeah. it was so beautiful.
It really was.
But
it wasn't meant to be that day.
No.
But we got a taste, and the harbor, like, we got to really see this is, you know, this is the journey. We have chased this journey all the way to the heart of the Roman Empire. We have been in Jerusalem. We have chased the Apostle Paul. We have been to Caesarea Maritima. But then we have been all over Turkey. Like, we followed the whole thing westward to and where then Paul then set foot on Italian soil and made his way to Rome. And then we made our way to Rome on a train. And that was a little nerve-wracking. Out of all the places that we've been, like, the most, it wasn't like we couldn't navigate around, but the most I felt like people didn't speak as much English was in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it's not like we couldn't get the help that we needed. Just, I don't know, like, really, we don't take trains every day, so.
Yeah, like, something exactly culturally that is so ingrained in their everyday part of life is just, you know, we're not super familiar with, and so.
It's knowing where to go and making sure we get the right one and don't end up, like, somewhere.
And then they said, when you did ask, they said, it'll show up which platform you go to 10 minutes before it leaves.
And we're like, oh, great.
Yeah.
So that gives us like 10 minutes to figure this all out.
That was inaccurate. It was 3 minutes before it was scheduled to leave. But thankfully it was late. And then we had all of our bags. And
we have too many bags.
Well.
At this point.
That's a matter of opinion.
Well, I think you agree.
It's a lot to travel with.
You agree. So don't say that. Because we share the same opinion.
Yeah.
We just didn't know.
I felt a little targeted on that.
No. There is no target. It's just a fact.
We could divvy up the souvenirs here.
We didn't know. Like, we've done our best.
Brother.
So, we made it, though. We got all of our stuff on the train, and
and I have yet to purchase a single thing in Italy.
Well.
Roma.
Yeah. Oh, and I didn't even talk about the pizza. Like, and the pasta that you had there in Naples. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That was so good.
Yeah, you were just...
right tomatoes. The simplest. I have just come to appreciate the right ingredients.
It was the pasta.
But it was the tomatoes.
The tomatoes with the pasta, with the perfect al dente.
It's the perfect, like.
It was missing some garlic and some meat.
Not for me. It was this Neapolitano. This is my jam.
It was your jam.
This is it. Like, this is what I've been looking for my whole life.
Oh, your whole life.
In terms of this kind of food.
Okay. Yes,
this is my jam.
And that's you're usually a penne kind of guy.
I'm just an al dente.
No, you were like...
I am a penne guy because it's mostly al dente.
Pretty into those noodles.
It was amazing.
And I don't even know what the name of those was. It was a special kind of twisty, short something.
They were awesome. I loved them.
Why did you take it out? We could do a whole blooper roll.
I was popping her toes and she said, ow, and so we cut it out.
No, not we.
I cut it out.
What was I going to say about? Oh. Do you know what I'd give for some chicken noodle soup right now?
I do, because you have told me.
A lot.
And if I could get it.
I'm just like, how hard is it, Italy? A chicken, an onion, some carrots.
And they have the best noodles. Like, this would be the best chicken noodle soup in the world.
My whole point, right there.
And it probably exists. It's called something we don't know how to say.
No, I have researched. It's a variation. It's like Italian wedding soup, and then there's a chicken egg drop something or other. But yeah, okay, let's move on.
We got to Rome. You didn't feel good. We got to a hotel. You felt worse. It ended up that Ezekiel and I went out to try to find some food for you.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted something specific, and it was not easy, but we had a great time.
That makes me so happy.
Just hanging out and talking, and we are not far from the Colosseum, and so we went there, and it's really breathtaking at night.
Mm-hmm.
Really breathtaking, and that's in the video. And so we walked around, and we probably walked several miles looking for something. It's very, very specific that you found like blocks away. And
I feel really bad. I only took a few bites, but man, do I appreciate the efforts you went to.
It was worth it. We had a great time.
Mm.
And we were just exhausted, so we got sleep. Got up this morning, man. You didn't sleep good. I didn't sleep good. But we were there for each other. And
mm-hmm.
I got up and you were just not able to kind of do everything that was on the program for today. We have 2 days in Rome to kind of chase down this New Testament stuff. And so Ezekiel and I got up, met our guide, and got a full tour of the Colosseum. We've done that before, but it was no less impressive. And that's in today's video. Like, it's really hard to... Well, I mean, we have big stadiums all over the world for soccer, for football, for, mm-hmm. you know... We have big sporting centers that are
in
stadiums.
In fact, Nashville is building a bigger one next to a already giant one.
Yeah.
So before they demolish the old one.
That's... Not an uncommon thing. This Colosseum, though, 70,000 people 2,000 years ago.
That's crazy.
Is still standing.
Yeah.
And it, you know, a lot of people listening to us have been there. A lot of people listening to us haven't. But those of you who have, you know, like it looks like a stadium. Like mm-hmm. But for it to be 2,000 years old, epic, unbelievable. And so. It was nothing short of awe-inspiring again to see it and all the history of it and
yeah, I'm really
all
sad
the different emperors that are involved and once again being reminded like there was Emperor Vespasian and then there was Emperor Titus, his son, and the Titus arch of victory, like that is very near the Colosseum and it completely depicts the conquering and destruction of Jerusalem.
Mm.
And so, you know, the menorah and everything, like, because right at that time, 66 AD to 70 AD, that's when there was the revolt in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a couple years, but we have been all over that battle in Israel, all the way to where it ended in Masada. And so it's like we're on the other side of that here in Rome, and it's this victory. Whereas in Israel, it's like this defeat. They destroyed Jerusalem for their rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Rome, it's like this great victory. But so much of the slave labor that built the Colosseum was enslaved Hebrew people
mm-hmm.
from that defeat. Not just Hebrews, like it wasn't this ethnic thing. Mm-hmm. It was other slaves and defeated, but a very, very large amount of enslaved Hebrew people came back and were the grunt labor to build the Colosseum.
Wow.
And so
that's perspective.
Yeah. And that's also like New Testament. Jesus said, this is all going to get destroyed. And mm-hmm. it was destroyed because of a rebellion. And those people were then once again, the Hebrew people enslaved who came back to Rome and built this monument that's still standing.
Mm-hmm.
Epic. And then we went to the Roman Forum, like downtown, like, nah, I don't know about downtown, but ancient empire, capital region of Rome is a massive archaeological space.
Mm-hmm.
Like massive. And I mean, this was the heart of the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Since we got here, we have not left the Roman Empire. Like, since we landed in Istanbul, everything we did in Turkey, Greece.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like, we have not left. That's how big.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
And anytime that we're in Israel, that mm-hmm. was also the Roman. Like, it was big.
Oh, yeah.
And the heart of it's Roma.
Roma.
And so all that we have, you know, this is the epicenter of all of it. And so much of ancient Rome is visible. And so we went to the Forum, like, where you can just really see the government, the, you know, the way people gathered everything. And then up on, gosh, what's the name of that hill? Starts with a P. I can't remember right now. I'm so tired.
Pepperoni?
Pepperoni Hill. You're right. Pepperdine Pomodoro Hill.
We would like to sincerely apologize to Italy for renaming all of your beautiful historic.
Because it's built. It's a city I'm built on seven hills. Darn it. Oh, ma'am.
It's okay,
we're looking like stupid right now. So many people are going, you stupid. You stupato. You're like, you.
El stupato.
I think probably Spanish. I don't know.
I think you're the. Well, it's a little mixture,
I guess.
I think you're the only one that really cares that you can't remember the name right now.
Oh, I hate when I can't remember. That's such an important and such an easy hill. Anyway, there's gardens up there. The emperor's palace from most of the emperors was there. And so ruins are up there and gardens are up there. And also, like, this is the second time we've been up there. And, didn't catch this the first time. Like, Caesar Augustus's house was up there, and his wife Lydia was a widow, and they were neighbors, and like they joined their houses together when they got married, and that's all up there. And,
uh-huh.
And I just didn't catch that before. And but also, like, Romulus, with all of the legends, the oldest part of Rome, like the beginning of Rome, 1000 BC, is there.
Yeah,
so
that's
like
crazy.
There's, you know, archaeologists have kind of identified like this right here, this little, like this spot, this is the beginning of Rome. And those ruins are clearly much older than things like the Colosseum
mm-hmm.
or anything in the Roman Forum, because they, you know, predate significantly everything there. So pretty cool. Very cool. And then we came and got you. And
well, you did, but this little thing happened.
Oh, yeah.
today, while you were at one of the sites that actually made national news.
It did? Yeah. I guess I hadn't seen that.
I sent it to the fam.
I didn't realize it made national news.
Yeah.
So, you want to tell about it?
No, I didn't witness it.
Well, I witnessed it and took some video of it, but because I noticed it 5 seconds after it happened, but I didn't realize.
Grab your phone. You'll see the little title.
Okay, well, in a minute.
You'll know exactly what it was that happened.
So we're in the Roman Forum, and we hear this kind of very loud kind of crashing sound.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy just immediately started this is not normal. And maybe earthquake? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we just look across and there's smoke, dust billowing up into the sky. As it turns out, there was a medieval building across the forum. I think it was maybe 11th century. I don't remember. Very, very old.
If you grab your phone, you'll see it.
Okay. Well, it's made national news, so everybody else knows. It collapsed. It collapsed.
Yeah.
And the entire roof and everything collapsed. Almost right in front of our eyes. So in the end, thankfully, nobody died, but there were injuries and road closures and, emergency vehicles. And also, this is a very ancient building that just kind of...
Yeah.
Pretty well got gutted.
Yeah.
I don't know what structurally will happen, but it was a very old building. So that was... that was a thing.
Well, that's crazy.
Every day,
because you showed me the video that you recorded of it, right after it took place, right after it happened,
5 seconds.
Yeah,
we heard this big crash and everything stopped, and I immediately saw this dust starting to rise, and I was already taking pictures, and so it was 5 seconds in to that. So, I mean, it took quite a while to understand even, that it was an accident, that it was not planned, that, the people got hurt, but, yeah, so that happened, and then, eventually, we came to get you.
Yes, you did.
And you were all nice and cozy under the bed in the dark.
I had to take to my sick bed.
Yes.
But I didn't want to stay there. I mean, my body was no, we are staying right here. But then the other part of me, it's you're in Rome, Italy, get your butt out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed the better part of today. And then you came, gathered me, and we went to
St. Paul outside the walls.
Mm-hmm.
This is the tomb of St. Paul. Massive cathedral, tomb of St. Paul.
Beautiful cathedral.
Ancient first century cemetery.
Yeah.
Never, this is the spot. Always, this isn't just tradition. This is... always been, thought to be the burial of St. Paul.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, you say that, and I know there's a reason why you say that. It really is fascinating how much legend gets woven into these stories along the way.
No doubt.
And it's not just part of the story, it is intertwined culturally.
Yep.
Lockdown. And even the guide, I forgot her name.
Marta.
She's precious. I just gathered a little bit of what she said, but she was talking about finding out that these things are not true after following the trail, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute. And I'm like, how do you even begin to change something that has been embedded, woven into the culture so tightly? And then I was like, oh, this is no different than...
No, there's many things.
No different than religion.
Many things along these lines that... Mm-hmm.
You
have to really want to do the work.
Yeah.
To unveil and uncover the truth.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's very true what you're saying. But this, anyway, this, like, it's never not been thought to be, this is where Paul was buried after he died, after he was executed.
Mm-hmm. Which is so crazy, like, being in this massive cathedral, just grand.
Mm-hmm.
Grand is
unbelievable.
And to think, oh, well, he's just buried right there in the ground. And,
yeah.
It's not weird or anything. It's just, you don't see that every day.
I mean, we were talking, and it was like the Tomb of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem where Jesus was buried.
Mm-hmm.
Was just a cemetery. It really was. There's other graves inside that building, but it's so massively built over, like, you would never know. And that's how this is. You would not know that this was an ancient cemetery because there's this massive, you know, cathedral built over the top of it.
Yeah. And not a ton of people were there. And I was asking our precious guide about that too. And she said, people go to St. Peter Basilica. Like, they go there. One, it is in the Vatican, or outside of the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
It's in, that's what I thought, but we haven't been there yet. So I think maybe there's some thinking that the Pope is there.
Mm-hmm.
You're closer to the Pope. See, she was just saying people don't even really know about this place, and it's because it's outside of the city walls. People just don't travel as much. So that was interesting, but also just really beautiful and...
Yeah, absolutely.
And grand.
So, like, the first church that was built to protect it was in the 4th century. So the 300s, just as Christianity itself is being legalized and is becoming the state religion of the Roman Empire. And so some of the foundational ruins of the original church are there. They're there, period, because they're underneath it all, but you can see some right by where he's buried. And so, you know, it's like connected with where the Apostle Paul was laid to rest after he died. And then there's the chains, the chain that he had been chained with in this moment. That's pretty stark. And
I knew I remembered chains from last time. I just couldn't remember which deathbed they were on.
Yeah. So having truly followed in the footsteps of just about every place that Paul, like just about every place that's named in the New Testament, to end up there. Yeah, it's pretty profound.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you have to kind of go down because everything's layered and layered and layered and built on, but down to the original layer.
Yeah.
And look in there and see, like, wow, the sarcophagus of the Apostle Paul. And then these chains, like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be a part of that today.
Yeah.
And integrate that into your awareness, and I got to do the same. And that was the day. Kind of came back and tried to take care of you, and you seemed to be feeling better, and me and Ziki, we went all over Rome collecting different food things. And well, we got to see all kinds of little...
Okay, there's a story about that. Before... you make me sound like a diva.
No, I'm not trying to make you sound like anything but my sick wife who I want to take care of.
I want some chicken noodle soup so bad. Like, I am just visualizing the chicken roasting in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
The whole chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Which you absolutely hate seeing.
It's not my favorite.
Chicken.
Favorite?
With the broth, with some onions, some celery, some carrots, some garlic, some basil leaves. Slow roast that booger. And then just add the noodles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in the noodle heaven of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they just boil a chicken? Or roast a chicken and then take that chicken off. Throw it in with some fresh onion, celery, carrot, garlic.
I don't honestly know how to answer that question.
Yeah, so I researched it. There's no such soup really here in Italy. But I did find Thai food.
Mm-hmm, you did.
And just the broth of some tom yum goong.
Yeah. So we went and got it.
Good. You did. And our go-to was just not the same. Penang was just not the same.
Well.
But man, you came through like a champ.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All I wanted was to take care of you. So, did my best. We did our best.
You did great.
And we got to have a nice little walk. And here we are, ready to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to dream about chicken noodle soup.
Mm-hmm. And we have one day left.
Yeah, it's kind of hitting me. One day left. We've been here a long time.
A massive amount of thousands of miles. Truly. Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll just decompress and sort this all out and converse about it when we get there, but we have one day left, and
it's been so good.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is.
It's bittersweet. I miss my bed.
Mm-hmm.
By like the third or fourth hotel, I was like, is it just me or are these mattresses a little firm?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did a little research.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Europeans believe that a stronger back is built by a much firmer mattress.
Maybe that's true.
Yeah, my back is protesting that.
If I'm having one complaint about all that, it's the placement of how you turn the lights on.
And there's been a little bit of feedback about the plugs from you.
The plugs and the placement of how to know exactly how to turn things on and off.
But hey, we're in a different country. They must know something we don't.
They do, because it makes sense. And they probably have no idea why we do the things we do.
I'm not sure we know why we do the things we do.
Nevertheless, one day left. And we will talk about that when it ends.
How are you feeling about going into the last day?
Sad.
Are you?
Yeah. But we'll be chasing Paul.
Could you go another month?
We'd need to jettison some luggage.
might be traveling solo, my friend.
But, it's been pretty impactful.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna scoot for now, and get some sleep for that final push. I am Brian.
I'm Jill.
We love you, and we will be waiting for you here
tomorrow.